Welcome to the Humanity Matters podcast, where we discuss and reflect on faith and philosophy, leadership and social issues. We want to engage in ideas and what it means to be a free human being in the pursuit of human flourishing. For more information, please visit our website, philipfletcher.org. And now, the Humanity Matters podcast. All righty, so let's get to this. Economic justice. All right, what is due to a person in the context of economics? What is due to a person in terms of what they are working for to bring into their household? What is justice? What is a just economy in relationship of one person to the next? What does a just economy look like within a society? So imagine for a second, person A lives along a riverbank. There's trees. There's a lot of metals, precious metals. There's a house that he or she goes to and is able to learn how to read and add. And they grow up and they start a small little rock business, all right, that benefits some of their neighbors. And they have a house to live in, they have a few clothes, food, and that is their life. On the other side of the mountain is another individual who has a road that goes in and out of their town. The town is made up of various types of businesses. There's different areas where that individual can go and get learning to read and to add. And that individual is able to go on the other side of the mountain and offer to the person A that we just originally talked about, hey, I will buy your business because I've got 100 other ones like it. Is the outcome just? Two different people, two different activities, particular circumstances for each individual, and their outcomes. One is able to afford a small house with a few clothes and some food. The other individual has multiple houses, a lot of food, and if need be, can go buy person A's business. Is that just?
For them to buy the business?
Yes. Well, the whole situation is person A in relationship to person B. Is the differences, the outcomes, just? Just something to think about. So, as we talk today, and we'll take a pause because we've got the midterm on Thursday, and we pick it up next Tuesday again. Ask ourselves, one, what is economic inequality? Two, what's social justice? The school has in its mission statement about social justice. Producing students who can go out into the world, right? You take whatever degree that you got and apply it somehow to bring about what is due to people or communities, all right? So when we talk about inequality, some would describe it as a problem that's part of the human condition. All right, there is a difference, whether small or great, as it relates to economics. All right, So the text, your textbook, it describes economic inequality as a disparity of income and wealth between groups. There's a disparity. So implied in that is a question. Are two different groups supposed to have the same economic outcome? So, two terms we're going to be hitting on is equal opportunity versus equal outcomes. Now, we touched on it last week on this idea about equity in terms of outcomes. So when we talk about equal opportunity, we've got person A, DeMarcus, Shanti, Skips, Travis. Each one of you. Add to that circumstances. Now, for instance, Ashanti, where were you born? Where were you born?
Oh, in the Bahamas, Nassau.
Okay. DeMarcus, where were you born?
Camden, Arkansas.
Camden, Arkansas. Mr. Gibbs, where were you born?
Clarksdale,
Travis, where were you born? Clarksdale, Mississippi. All righty. That's one circumstance, where you were born. All right, we'll take another arbitrary circumstance. All right, Ashanti, were both of your parents together?
Yeah.
DeMarcus, both of your parents together?
You said are they together or were they together?
Both. Okay, both. Were they together while you were growing up?
Yes.
Are they together now?
No.
Okay. Mr. Gibbs?
No.
While you were growing up?
No, not at all.
Not at all. Mr. Trapp?
Okay, what about...
Were they both involved?
Okay.
Let's ask a different question.
Yeah, yeah. Actually,
were both of your parents involved in your growing up? Were both of your parents involved? Were one of your parents were involved? Travis?
Yes. Both were involved.
Both were involved. All right. So, parental involvement, second circumstance. All right. Let's pick up a third arbitrary circumstance. Travis, were both of your parents working?
For some time, yeah.
For some time. Mr. Gibbs, was your parent working?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Murphy, were both of your parents working?
Yes.
Ms. Duncan?
Yeah.
Yes, all right. So the income that was coming into your particular living situation, and then finally your educational situation. All right, describe your high school.
It was a private school.
Private school, okay.
We had uniforms.
Okay.
It was expensive.
Okay.
It's a regular school.
Okay, Mr. Murphy, describe your school, public or private?
It was public, but okay. I went to a performing arts high school.
Okay.
We were a magnet high school, which means you had to have a certain GPA to go.
Okay. So like Ms. Duncombe School, it was to some degree exclusionary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the basis of skill and on the basis of academic standard.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Mr. Gibbs, describe your high school. Public or private?
Public.
Public?
We were uniform.
Okay.
Small, very, very small, ghetto. Unorganized.
Unorganized. Was it a charter school?
No.
Public school.
Yeah.
But it was unorganized.
Yeah, very.
How did you pick up it was unorganized? That's interesting.
Let me see. Okay. 13 years of being in the system.
The public school system?
Yeah.
Yeah, clarify.
Oh, that public school system.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I mean, I graduated, you know.
Right.
Like, I wanted it.
Just in like
compared school. To other schools, yeah, like compared to other schools.
Okay.
Nah.
And y'all went to the same high school?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Did you have the same understanding?
Yeah.
I guess everybody had the same understanding?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. All right. So in the room, we've got private school, magnet school, mm-hmm. performing arts school, magnet, and a public school, right? So with that, there is an equal opportunity, all right, to be born, to be raised by somebody, and to have an education. Now, the circumstances of each one of those were different. Two-parent household, one-parent household, or parents were just involved, right? Next, in terms of education, the quality of the education was different, right? So when we talk about equal opportunity, you have an individual who has circumstances that are not going to be the same, all right? But then there is still an outcome, all right? So right now the outcome is the four of y'all ended up at Philander Smith University. Even though you had different circumstances in terms of birth location, inside the United States, outside the United States, and parental nurturing, economic situation, and education. Now, when we talk about equal outcomes, all right, we have the four of you again. Now, equal outcomes then necessitates that there is an external influence that comes in and looks at y'all's circumstances and says, we need to do something to equalize the circumstances so that the outcome is the same. All right, so now we can't apply equalization of circumstance in terms of birth because you're just born where you're born. Right, so you gotta take that one off the table. What would it look like for an external influence to come in and equalize the parental involvement?
Like me?
Just anybody.
They would force light.
Okay, that's a strong word, okay.
Force another parental figure in a household of somebody that only has one parent.
Okay. All right. So when you talk about forcing that parental figure, are you talking about the biological parent or some other adult?
Some other adult.
All right. There's a possibility. Somebody else. So if you will, for argument's sake, if Ashanti's circumstance is the norm, right, that means those outside of that norm, in order to have a fair chance at achieving the same outcome, what Travis brought up, right, is one possible solution, that another adult would have to be forced into that situation in order that there would be a two-parent influence. Is there another recommendation?
Or you could just force, no, not force. That's a strong word. Or you could just influence the parent that is not present to be there.
Okay.
So you don't have to put a new parent into the situation. You could just encourage the one that is absent to be present.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Wait, remove?
Okay, so Travis now going to say, let's go the other direction. So for Ashanti's situation, right, it is an internal, external influence coming in saying, because we have a number of individuals in single parent households, right, in order for it to be a more just outcome, we're gonna take two-parent households and make them one-parent households. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a possibility as well. Very good, looking at the other direction. All right, let's move to educational circumstance. What would the external influence come in and do to create more just circumstances so that the outcomes would be the same? So we got a private school, public magnet school, we got a pure traditional public school.
Maybe you could give, I don't know, maybe something could be added to the traditional schools.
Okay.
Like,
administrative organization? Because you said organization. All right.
Or like give public schools more funding. So they would have more the same resources that we have.
Okay.
Because they have adequate funding for it.
Okay. So increasing funding. So
yeah.
Where does that funding come from?
The government. Because it's a public school, so
okay.
It should come from that district.
And where does the government get their money from?
The taxpayer.
Okay, so it is then placing a greater burden on taxpayers.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
If they budget it properly.
Who? The government?
The government.
But they have to pay more taxes to get more funding.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Or another possibility is some funding is taken away from
other
the public magnet school. And placed on the schools in Mississippi, right?
What about government funding things we really don't need to be funded?
Okay. It's a possibility as well.
So taking funding from things is not actually showing any progress.
Well, you just suggested stop funding things that don't need to be funded.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Putting it into public schools.
Okay. All right. So it's prioritizing those things that are deemed more important for society.
Right.
Right. All right. Now, other things we need to consider as we're talking about equal opportunity versus equal outcome, all right? One of the things we're gonna get into, economic systems. So, one, it's capitalism, or the free market, excuse me, laissez-faire, all right? Essentially, myself and Travis, I have this can that I've made. Travis says, hey, I need things to transport water in. I say, hey, I will offer you this can. In exchange, you give me $10. Now, Travis can either pay the $10 to get this can, or he can find some other way to transport his water. All right? Ashanti comes along and says, well, I can give you a bigger can that keeps it cool, and I'll only charge you $8, Travis. Travis, what do you decide?
I'm gonna get the bigger, cheaper can.
Why?
Because I can transport more water. It's cheaper, and my water would be cooler for a longer period of time.
All right, so Travis is making an economic decision on the basis of self-interest. He wants to move larger amounts of water, and he wants to keep it cool, right? Now, is that fair? Because I'm out here, I'm like, Travis, I came to you first with a can that can transport 12 fluid ounces. Ashanti's can transport 16 fluid ounces. Mine's $10. I came to you first.
Well, what's not fair is the price of your can. Because it doesn't do as much as cheaper cans out there that do more than what your can does.
Okay. So, me being rejected, or let's use another word, me being discriminated against.
That's not discrimination.
It's not
discrimination.
Hold on a second. Didn't he not prefer your bottle over mine?
But is that discrimination? Like, that's not discrimination. Discrimination is such a big word.
It is. Why did you choose hers over mine again?
It would be better.
What defines better?
The
what specific?
The qualities.
What else?
And the price.
And the price. He looked at characteristics and determined that yours better than mine. He discriminated against me on the basis of quality. Wow. That's the free market. Mm-hmm. And do you benefit? Because you're able to move more and keep it cool. do you benefit?
Yeah, because I get the money.
Because you get the money. Now, you charge $8, but it only costs you $4 to make.
So I have to make some profit.
Why?
Because that's how the world works.
No. Before we get there, what's the two things about how that bottle came into existence?
Well,
there's two major things.
What do you mean, factory?
The material and
the work,
the labor to put it together. Right? Mm-hmm. And you factored all that in. I had to buy this material and the labor, it cost me $4. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, if I want to keep doing this, I'm going to need to bring in
some money.
Money, right? $8. I found somebody who was willing to pay $8 for it, mm-hmm. right? And also above that, mm-hmm. there's this guy out there with some glasses on who's making something, right? Similar, but it's smaller and it can't do better than what I'm doing, right? Mm-hmm. He needs to either come up with a better bottle or he needs to find something else to do.
Yeah.
Okay. All because of your self-interest, right? But even more so than this, it was an interaction between the two of you. Now, from the free market, we get what's called a mixed economy. All right? Now, this is where public and private come in. So, Mr. Gibbs, he says, I'm from the government. Go ahead and say that.
I'm from the government.
Okay. So, Mr. Gibbs is over there, and he's watching this whole thing happen. Right? Mr. Gibbs is looking, it's like, huh. Is it fair that Mr. Phillip, Dr. Fletcher, is not getting an opportunity to sell his 12 fluid ounce can as Ms. Duncombe over there is building a empire because she's got something that's cheaper and better, right? So I go to say, hey, Zay, can you go with me to Mr. Gibbs? And we need to let him know that I'm about to lose my job and my business, right? So we go together because Say works for me, right? Say looks tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? She was like, we got to get this done, right? So we go to Mr. Gibbs. Mr. Gibbs, can you put out an announcement that from now on, anybody that makes bottles larger than 16 ounces or more, they have to give up $2? That's what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
And the reason you're gonna do that is because we gotta help out these schools in Mississippi that are disorganized. Yeah. So now we get into the mixed economy where the government, an external influence, gets in the middle of a free transaction, right? It says that anybody that makes over 16 fluid ounces or more has to pay $2 of that $8. $2 of what they make, right? And that $2 goes somewhere over here. For kids in Mississippi so they don't experience disorganized school. Now, we're not going to judge the merits of whether or not that's right or wrong. But here's the first question. Is it right, or is it wrong, for Mr. Gibbs to come in the middle of a transaction that is occurring between Travis, myself, and Ashanti?
No.
Yes.
Yes, it is wrong.
Yes. It's wrong?
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody think it's right? For the sake of the kids. Okay, so it has nothing to do with Mr. Gibbs.
I don't know.
Okay, Mr. Gibbs, go ahead.
If it's for the kids, then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the kids are our future.
Yeah.
So, if they don't have a good, you know, they're not doing good, so all right, right now, we don't have any future.
Okay.
Destruction.
All right. Pause. Pause. Say, we're going to come to you. All right. What ethical theory is Mr. Gibbs seeking to apply right now is it
the greatest good,
so which is called utilitarianism. That is right. You'll see how this starts to weave together. Mm-hmm. Good job. Say, what is your comment?
I was saying, if she was not doing the job, how would they be funded if she was not doing the job at first?
That's what I was going to say. What do they have to do?
You take your bread of my children. Because you taking money from me. So how am I sharing to eat if you taking $2 out of my $8 what I get?
But if it's a utilitarian standpoint,
we're not talking about that. We're talking about y'all taking $2 from
me. He said he gonna report the transaction. Mm-hmm. Because are you saying you don't report it because she didn't? Because Travis didn't buy it from you and he bought it from her instead?
Yes. That's petty. That's so petty. I'm like,
So DeMarcus, you're making, and you think it's petty as well, Ashanti.
Yeah, I think it's
It's petty for me as a business owner to go to a external entity and say, hey, I need you to put more of a financial burden on the person that's doing well.
Yes. Like, okay.
But then I'm not gonna lie.
The same thing. Just prefers something else.
Yeah. Probably how Walmart, Target, and all them stores are. Somebody snitched on somebody. Yeah. I don't know who somebody snitched.
Economic snitching.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie, right?
Okay.
Hers bigger than yours. Said you about to lose your job. You about to lose your house.
Yeah.
And all kinds of stuff like that. Okay, it's not petty in that situation. But like, if you still at your house and you still at your car and everything, you just mad that Travis come to me and not you, that's petty. But like, you actually losing stuff and not having no place to live, that's kind of serious. So I feel like you should then apply for government assistance. You shouldn't snitch on me. You should just try to get like an EBT card or like, you know.
I feel like he should just make his product better.
Yeah, make your product better. But then you might not have the money to make it better. So like, apply for like a loan up until you could do that.
Y'all not thinking like, about keeping the economy flowing.
Okay. So, Mr. Gibbs. So we have talked about the free market. We talked about what is called the mixed economy. Next, Mr. Gibbs looks around and says, hey, you know what? Instead of, we've looked out over what's happening. We see what Travis is doing and others like him. He's going to the Dunkums of the world to get better bottles while Dr. Fletcher is still suffering. He's still seeking to push his 12-ounce fluid can. Ms. Dunkum has actually innovated even more, right? Not only can a bottle keep it cold, but if necessary, it can heat water as well. So you have different options.
I just got the variety, man. Come shop with him.
And it's getting more difficult for me and others like me who are choosing not to innovate, or we're still seeking to do things as normal. And so Mr. Gibbs, along with Mr. Murphy, they say, you know what? We're not going to just be persuaded by the public to do something. We're just going to tell Ms. Dunkum and others like her, this is how you're going to produce said bottles moving forward. The company's still yours. And it's still Dr. Fletcher's. But you're going to do it this way. You have no say-so. So we move from what's called the free market to the mixed economy, to what is now called fascism. Now, fascism was popular where? Anybody know their 20th century history?
In
Germany and also in Italy. Germany under Hitler, state fascism. All right, excuse me, fascism. And in Italy under Mussolini, from which fascism actually initiated from, state fascism. That within the state, they would control the means of production in order that there would be greater economic prosperity. That was the theory. So, Ms. Dunkum, How would you feel for Mr. Gibbs and Mr. Murphy to come into your office and say, this is how it will be done?
This is how it's gonna be done. It ain't no other choice.
If it's a free country, I'd be like, why? I wouldn't listen to them because it's a free country. I would not listen to them.
And if you don't, we shut you down.
Oh.
We shut you down.
I would strike. I would rally some people together and let's just have a strike. Let's march. Because this is a great injustice and we need to stand up for our rights.
What? Where is the injustice? Tell me.
The injustice is that under law, this is supposed to be a free country. So why is the government telling me how to run my business when it's my business?
Because you voted us into office.
I didn't vote y'all in the office. I probably voted out of body in the office and y'all went.
Well, I mean, once we've won, I mean...
I don't know. I just feel like that's a great injustice because if it's supposed to be a free country and you're supposed to have your own mind and train of thought, why is the government telling me how to control my business when I started it and not the government?
And so, anybody else? Why is it just, though? Where's the justice in it? I mean, we're telling Ashanti and others like her, this is how your property is going to be used, and it's for the benefit of the society.
It's just because you're creating an equal opportunity for...
Is it just opportunity?
Equal, what was the word we was using? Equal outcome.
Okay.
For, if we look at our example, equal outcome for the public schools in Mississippi.
Okay.
I think that's the justness.
Okay. All right.
And then thinking about it, right, you try to make an equal outcome for schools, but that's just schools in Mississippi. That's not an equal outcome for schools in general.
Yeah, we'll get there. Don't run ahead of me. Okay. So, Mr. Gibbs and Mr. Murphy, there's some powerful individuals in the room. Fascism is just not doing it. Say he comes in, sits down crying. He's got her family. Little kids is there snotting, right? Mr. Gibbs and Mr. Murphy are moved. Possibly.
Yeah, because I ain't.
But they see it as an opportunity to see this young lady distraught and overwhelmed about her economic situation with her kids. And they say, you know what? This is what we shall do. We will take control of the means of production. So now we've moved from fascism to what's called socialism, where the state, that external entity, comes in and it looks at private entities, private businesses, and says, not only will we influence strictly how your property is being used and also how it will be produced, how it will be distributed. So that the kids in Mississippi have a great public school education. And in fact, we will create an office of learning who will have those funds that and materials that are generated from Ms. Duncan and Dr. Fletcher so that they can be distributed to students like Travis and Mr. Gibbs. Now, where's the justice? Where's the rightness? Where's the goodness in that? Or is there any? Now, your private property is now being controlled by an external entity who may not even know how to make a bottle. Any thoughts? Unfair. Why is it unfair?
I still don't like how you're taking my $2. Because, like, you ain't make this $2. I made the $2.
Oh, we've moved beyond taking your $2.
Yeah. I'm taking more now.
It's just unfair.
In fact, Mr. Murphy is your boss.
I'm supposed to have no boss. That was the point of me selling water bottle. If I didn't want a boss, I would have went and applied to work to some place where I would have had a boss. Yes. I didn't want to be my own boss.
Yes.
So why do you think that you can appoint me a boss?
I'm your boss.
I don't like that.
But here's the thing, Travis and Say. Like, we have an individual out there who has the capabilities of producing something out of nothing. And is able to generate such a massive amount of income and wealth, mm-hmm. right, that she can't spend it all. She can't. Even when she dies, millions of dollars are going to be left. So isn't it right, especially when we have the kids down in Mississippi. Travis, you came there, from there. You know the disorganization, the weakness in the academic instruction. It's only right that we cull a portion of her funds and, in fact, control how those funds are going to be redistributed. Isn't that right? For the kids' sake. For education's sake. For the future of our society. Isn't that right, Say?
It's right. But I feel like everybody thinking that it's wrong because you personalize it. See, okay, so let's just say we take ourselves out of it, right? And we just say it's the government against something like Walmart or Target. We wouldn't have this stance if it was against Walmart or Target. But you're personalizing it and saying that I built an empire from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my money that the government is now taking to give to children in Mississippi. Of course I would feel that way because I built this from scratch.
Okay.
But if we're talking about Walmart, I feel like you should take at least, you know, I think you should take like 35% of Walmart earnings.
But see, let's personalize. So you are Sam Walton.
Yeah.
Whose original store is still in Northwest Arkansas, the original store,
mm-hmm.
a little old storefront.
Mm-hmm. Is he dead?
Yeah, he's been dead. Oh. Yeah. Sam Walton, little old, probably as big as his room, actually.
Right.
And that's where it started, selling like odds and end type things. Like, imagine, well, here you go, imagine Dollar General. All right? Okay.
Yeah.
But should he not feel the same way?
He shouldn't feel the same way if he has multiple chains of stores. And like Walmart, is what I'm trying to say is that these big corporations have chains of stores in all over the states, in almost every state. They have different avenues of getting more money.
Okay.
So it's not like they're going to miss that little 35% that they would.
But Ashanti, you're not going to miss $2.
That's different. I'm the small man. That's the big man. So he's not going to miss that 35%.
That's proportional.
We talking about finances here.
Yeah.
I'm not so a big dog yet. So I just have more money than you. And you was just mad that I have more money than you. We talking about Walmart. You talking about me.
So your $4, so your $4 profit
was
cut in half.
Why would you cut my $4 profit in half?
But you need to offer me a justification as to why it's not okay, it's not fair, it's not. Let me finish the question. Hold on. It's not right. It's not okay for an external entity to take 50% of your profit, but you're saying it's okay to take 35% of somebody else's profit. Set aside the size. of the business. Is it okay for an external entity to come in and take, so we're kind of move back to a mixed economy, 35 to 50% of anybody's profits? Let it sit there.
You word it though, like you word it in a specific way.
As I did.
I have no other choice but to say a specific answer. But I'm still going around okay. that. I'm still going to say what I was saying.
I know. Because your variable is...
It's not even about size at this point. Okay. It's about profit. My little profit compared to Walmart profit is not the same.
Well, of course
Walmart
not.
Walmart is going to make what I make in an hour.
In a week, quicker than that.
In 30 seconds. Because Walmart online, in store, all over the states, and you keep talking about size, so I could even cut that.
Well, actually, you brought up size.
Let me cut up size.
Okay.
You're just talking about profit. They making more money than me at the end of the day. So I feel like when it comes to financial, they should be. They should take more money.
Okay. More money. So, Ms. Ashanti has moved back to at least argue for a mixed economy. All right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about fascism. We've talked about socialism. And if all things still not factoring in, Mr. Gibbs, Mr. Murphy, and now say, and myself, are like, you know what? We just need to own not just the means of production, but also the property itself. And we will figure out what is economic justice in society. And so we come in and we knock on Ms. Duncombe's door.
Open up.
And say, Duncombe LLC now belongs to...
That's just sick.
Ethics 253. With Mr. Gibbs as the president.
I'm in support of that.
Yeah, I'm in support of that.
So, we have moved from the free market where Travis could just freely interact with Ms. Duncombe and myself all the way to what is called communism.
Yeah, that's sick.
On Tuesday, we will pick up with Mr. Rawls versus Mr. Nozick. How did these two different men address economic injustice? What solutions did they provide? One from a social liberal perspective, another from a what would be called a libertarian perspective. Keep in mind, do you have a right to your property?
Yes.
Keep in mind, do you have a responsibility to your neighbor with that property? And if you have a responsibility to your neighbor with that property, is that something that you freely choose to do on your own? Or should an external influence come in and say, we've identified these problem areas in society and it is your duty? Deontology. It is for an expression of your good character, virtue ethics? Or is it for the common good, utilitarianism, that you do this? See you on Thursday for your new turn. Hey, if you found something of value, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Find us on Facebook at Dr. Philip Fletcher. Find us on Twitter at Philip Fletcher. And as always, visit us on the website philipfletcher.org.